Support for this podcast comes from Outdoor Supply Hardware, inviting listeners to Osh's big anniversary sale celebration, May 20th through the 26th, featuring daily deals, $15,000 in giveaways, 20% off store-wide on Saturday and Sunday, and a lot more. Learn more at osh.com.
From KQED.
I'm Erica Cruz Guevara, and welcome to The Bay. Local news to keep you rooted. Our immigration court system is gummed up. There's a backlog of more than 3.3 million immigration court cases, including a record number of people seeking asylum. That means it could take years for a case to finally reach a judge. And even if that happens, most migrants won't have a lawyer. And that makes it really hard to win a deportation case and stay in this country.
Having an immigration attorney versus not having an immigration attorney has profound, profound impacts on your ability to present fully your claim. And most of these claims that we're seeing are asylum-seeking family units.
Concord is the site of a new immigration court that opened last month to try and help ease this backlog. And advocates in Contra Costa County are now working overtime to find more lawyers to help handle these cases. Today, what people in Contra Costa County are doing to try and help defend people from deportation.
On Sunday, I went out to the Ignacio Valley High School in Concord.
Tyke Hendricks is senior immigration editor for KQED.
They called it an immigration forum. It was geared towards Spanish-speaking immigrants. There were nearly 200 people who came out for it. There were folks who had questionnaires, and they had different colored stickers. And depending on what kind of questions you had, what you were there looking for, they would give you a, you know, red, yellow, green, orange sticker, blue sticker, and then they would put a number on it. You know, you have an asylum question, you get a blue sticker and a number one, next person number two, next person number three. And someone on stage was calling, okay, blue number 43, go to table six. Table six, there would be an immigration lawyer volunteering, and you would get to have a one-on-one conversation with them about your question. It was very organized, and it was kind of lively, and there was a very warm vibe there.
The idea is for people to get informed, not to feel like afraid, but just for people to know this is what is happening.
One person who was sitting at the desk with the yellow and green stickers was a woman named Emma Paulino.
Most of the people, I will say 80% of the people who came to this event came because they need the consultations with the attorneys.
And she is with this group, Faith in Action. She's based in Oakland. They've been doing these kinds of immigration forums and legal clinics, she said, for 23 years, and she was really the person who started it.
I'm really proud of it because through these 20 plus years, like you add, like how much will cost to one person each consultation with an attorney, is hundreds of thousands of dollars that the people save already by doing these services.
I know Emma actually ran into someone that she had helped. Can you tell me about that moment as you were talking with her?
We were talking, and this woman walks up and says, "Oh, Emma Paulino, I want to thank you so much." And she launches into this story and then gives her a huge hug. The woman's name is Rosaura Mayen.
Hace 7 años que yo entré a este país.
And she came from Guatemala 7 years ago as an asylum seeker, fleeing gang violence and threats. A gang was making threats against her daughter, and Rosauro says she stood up to the gang.
Yo la defendí a ella. Yo me expuse que a mí me hicieran algo por defenderla a ella.
And then there were threats against herself and her family. They ended up coming to the States and seeking asylum. And she had found a lawyer that she couldn't afford to pay.
Y la abogada me estaba presionando y presionando, y yo no sabía qué hacer.
Emma Paulino, the woman from Faith in Action, helped her find a nonprofit lawyer who would work for free. And last September, Rosaura got her asylum, and her daughter did too.
Y gracias a Dios y a Emma, ella consiguió hacerme una cita con un abogado. Y así es como pelearon mi caso, y gracias a Dios lo ganamos.
But then there she was on Sunday at the high school event in Concord, because her husband's case is different, and she was there with her husband looking for some legal guidance for him.
Y ahorita venimos a ver qué se puede hacer por él.
Taiki, why was this happening in Concord, of all places?
Well, because there's a brand new immigration court in Concord. You know, the whole Bay Area, and really more than Northern California, but from like Bakersfield to the Oregon border, all those cases have been in the San Francisco immigration court orbit. But now there are cases from the San Francisco court where you thought you were going to court in San Francisco. Your case has been transferred to Concord. And in some cases, the date of your hearing has been changed. Some cases, it's earlier than you expected. A big part of what they were doing was getting the word out to people, like, you need to check, and here's how to check whether your hearing time and place have been moved. So you don't miss your hearing, because if you miss your immigration court hearing, you can be ordered deported in absentia, meaning that you don't show, okay, automatically we're just going to deport you. You know, you don't have the right to a court-appointed lawyer, so you have to find your own, and lots of people can't afford to hire a private practice immigration lawyer. So a lot of it falls to a handful of nonprofit groups that do immigration legal work, deportation defense, to a very small program that the county funds with a couple of lawyers in the public defender's office and 2, 3, 4 lawyers in nonprofits who are getting some county funding.
Yeah, but I can imagine, I mean, even coming to a new country and having to navigate all that must be so overwhelming. What is the need that this new immigration court in Concord is trying to fill?
The San Francisco court has one of the largest caseloads in the country. They have had a backlog of 160,000 cases. It's not often that you have a brand new immigration court that's stood up. There is a small court in Sacramento that has about 8 judges. There's 27 judges in the San Francisco court. But, you know, the waiting time for your case to be heard can be 2, 3, 4 years. Moving it out to Concord then allows people who are coming from further away, like all the way down the Central Valley, to travel not quite as far as going all the way to San Francisco. And so this is just kind of expanding the capacity in the Bay Area to handle immigration cases. So the new court will have, when it's fully staffed, it'll have 21 judges. It's in leased office space in an office building in Concord off of a busy boulevard. I think they have 11 judges now, and they're hoping to keep hiring up.
How big of a dent, Taiki, is this supposed to make in this national immigration backlog that we've been talking about?
The San Francisco caseload is down from 160,000. It's now 120,000. And those 40,000 plus cases are now on the docket for the Concord court. And the Biden administration's been trying to expand. They've hired about 300 new immigration judges and stood up six new courts around the country. But Republicans in Congress succeeded in cutting the immigration court budget. So that's going to mean belt tightening at all the immigration courts. And it's kind of the opposite of what they were hoping to do to try to clear this 3 million case backlog.
Coming up, we'll hear from immigration lawyers who are doing what they can to help people with their cases. Stay with us.
Support for this podcast comes from Outdoor Supply Hardware, inviting listeners to Osh's big anniversary sale celebration, May 20th through the 26th, featuring daily deals, $15,000 in giveaways, 20% off store-wide on Saturday and Sunday, and a lot more. Learn more at osh.com.
Did you ever wonder what it's like to live alone? Hidden in the woods, not speaking to a single soul for 30 years. Or wander the desert, uncover a hidden well, and dive to the bottom of the deepest water hole for 2,000 miles. The Snap Judgment Podcast takes you there with amazing stories told by the people who live them, with an original soundscape that drops you directly into their shoes. Snap Judgment. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
What has the opening of this immigration court meant for the county specifically? It sounds like a lot of, I guess, action is coming to the area.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the court has been in San Francisco. There's a longstanding effort by the immigration bar in San Francisco to provide more pro bono legal services to people going to court there. None of that has existed out here. So there's been a big scurry by the nonprofit groups in the East Bay that serve immigrants to hustle and figure out how to help folks.
Welcome to my little corner. This is my office to the left.
So Ali Saidi works for the Public Defender's Office in Contra Costa, and I met him and his team at their office in Martinez.
Okay, team, everybody has a copy of the agenda?
Yes.
Okay, so as you all know, the new court is opening up.
He runs this small unit of immigration lawyers doing deportation defense, and he's also the director of a coalition called Stand Together Contra Costa that includes the Public Defender's Office and a bunch of nonprofits that are working in this area.
There's over 13,000 Contra Costa residents that have pending deportation cases. And there's over 1,000 in the last 90 days that have been newly placed into deportation proceedings. So obviously, six lawyers is not enough to handle all of that. That's why we're not doing this alone.
And
that's
they wanted to be sure that people know that this court is not an ICE detention center. Like, there's, you know, you're just going to court here. You're not going to be locked up.
Then we want to let the community know where they can go to get help to understand if their cases are going to be transferred to this new deportation court, and to have access to free legal consultations, and hopefully connect as many people as we can, given our limited resources, with actual attorneys to be able to present and process their cases.
He also really has a strong critique of the immigration court system, where how can you represent yourself in an asylum claim or, you know, a deportation case if you don't know immigration law, which is like second to the tax code in complexity? It's very complicated. And that folks are being kind of rushed into what he thinks of as like a pipeline of a rushed deportation process without access to attorneys, he sees as a serious due process problem.
The statistics bear out that the difference between having an immigration attorney versus not having an immigration attorney has profound impacts on your ability to present fully your claim. And most of these claims that we're seeing are asylum-seeking family units. We have epic backlogs, and there's a lot of reasons to be able to process cases more quickly, but not at the expense of due process.
What could happen if people don't get that legal representation?
If you have an asylum claim, you're coming to the U.S. and asking for asylum here. It's the equivalent of refugee protection, that you fear persecution in your home country based on a series of possible grounds. But if you don't have a lawyer to make that case for you, the statistics show that more than 80% of the time, people lose their asylum cases. If you do have a lawyer, your chances are a lot better. Almost half of people with lawyers win their asylum claims. Unfortunately, nationally at this point, only a third of the people who are facing deportation in immigration court have a lawyer. So, you know, those legal services are really important, and there's really not enough of them. And that is, you know, true in Concord. It's true in the immigration courts everywhere in the country.
Well, I want to end, Taiki, by asking you about how what happens locally in Concord kind of connects to what's happening on the national level, because there is a presidential election coming this November. It's going to be Donald Trump versus Joe Biden again. Immigration is a big issue. And I mean, I think we can all expect a lot of news, a lot of rhetoric around immigration again this year. How do you hope this story helps people understand the issue of immigration in this election, especially folks here in the Bay Area?
Trump and the Republican Party have really made immigration, the border, and specifically a sense of chaos at the border and a sense of sort of invasion by immigrants as kind of a talking point in their campaigning. It's absolutely the case that there are a great number of people coming to the border asking for asylum. And the Biden administration, I think, has been trying to manage migration and manage the border. It really illustrates how it's a big national issue, but it comes down to individual people's lives and individual people's stories and the odyssey that these individual folks are on to say, you know, I was fleeing death threats in Guatemala, and this is where I came to seek refuge. Here are some people from the faith community, from the legal services community, who are reaching out to try to help folks feel less intimidated and feel less alone. There was a real sense of community fabric here in the Bay Area, in Contra Costa, of responding to those individual needs of people on their journey and saying, like, how can we help? How can we make you feel safer, make you feel like you belong, and see if we can help give you a pathway to be part of the community here?
Well, Taiki, thank you so much for joining us on the show. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Great to talk to you always, Erica.
That was Taiki Hendricks, Senior Immigration Editor for KQED. This 39-minute conversation with Taiki was cut down and edited by Senior Editor Alan Montesilio. Maria Esquinca is our producer. She scored this episode and added all the tape. Music courtesy of the Audio Network. KQED and The Bay are funded by listeners just like you. If you want to help support our show and local news, consider becoming a KQED member. Just go to kqed.org/donate. And I'm Erica Cruz Guevara. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Did you ever wonder what it's like to live alone, hidden in the woods, not speaking to a single soul for 30 years? Or wander the desert, uncover a hidden well, and dive to the bottom of the deepest water hole
for 2,000 miles. The Snap Judgment podcast takes you there with amazing stories told by the people who live them, with an original soundscape that drops you directly into their shoes. Snap Judgment. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love learning about the San Francisco Bay Area? Its history, its people, its unique blend of cultures? Then you should check out the Bay Curious book. I'm Katrina Schwartz, editor and producer on the Bay Curious podcast, and I'm here to let you know that for the month of May, we've worked out a sweet deal for KQED podcast listeners. Right now, you can get the Bay Curious ebook for $1.99. That's right, $1.99. Just search for Bay Curious wherever you get your ebooks or find a link in our show notes. This offer does expire at the end of the month, though, so you'll want to act on it fast. Happy reading!